Nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourselves on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa. Tide 100.9, brand manager Joe Gaither behind the glass helping us out. Today, it's the first Friday of a brand new month, which means we're giving away a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage. All you got to do is call in and tell Joe, not me, tell Joe, who the vintage player of the month is based on the clues that I give you throughout the show that will progressively get more easy as we go along. But you're welcome to guess as many times as you like and take the pride in knowing just based off of that first clue who the player is. Doesn't give you any more chances. Everybody, this is an equal opportunity situation. But nonetheless, however you choose to play the game, we're excited that you would do so. 205-342-9904 is the phone number to call for a chance at a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage, which is at 2210 University Boulevard under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. That $25, that'll take you a little bit, man. It'll get you what you want there for sure. Help you in that purchase, whether it's a new jersey. And I mean, the jersey lineup is incredible. You get Jay Parker, Trent Richardson. I've seen Mark Ingram in the past. And also, you know, the more generic ones, you know, the 12s, the 7s, the 8s, they're in there as well. So wherever you want to headcanon those jerseys, where they come from, I've got a number 8 jersey at home as well. I don't know if it's a Julio Jones jersey or if it's a Josh Jacobs jersey, but it's my jersey, and that's all that matters. You can do the same. Alabama Vintage commemorative T-shirts, jackets, the hat selection is absolutely insane. The shoe collection grows by the day, and the memorabilia that commemorates from the early 1970s all the way up to the early Nick Saban era as well, all of that for you to choose from. You can find online as well, alabamavtg.com, and find them on Instagram at alabamavtg as well. Now, the gift card is only good for in-store purchases, so keep that in mind. Without further procrastination, here is the first clue for your vintage player of the month. At the time of this player's graduation, this running back was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing and the first in Alabama history to eclipse 3,000 yards rushing in a Crimson Tide career. If you know who that player is, 205-342-9904. Let's get the show started on the content side of things. The transfer portal is about the only damn thing we can talk about. And it's from so many different perspectives. We've got four or five different story angles that are going on here. And the first one that I think is the most prevalent, set the record straight. Because I want something to be 110% understood. Yesterday, when Dane Shore entered the transfer portal, we talked a lot about the player. How we didn't think, me and Mason were agreeing on these things. So to say we were talking about how we didn't think that he fit in, how we questioned when he committed the fit based off of his style, his size, his recruiting caliber, right? To criticize the athlete is not always to criticize the human. And I think that's something that oftentimes very much gets lost in translation in the sports world. I am always here to lend analysis, which requires criticism of athletes and players based off of what we have. Turns out at 11 a.m. yesterday, we didn't have the full story. We didn't have the full situation, full scope of things. So where I want to start is to make sure that if you haven't heard it anywhere else, that you definitely hear it here. And that is Dane Shore talking about why he entered the transfer portal. And it's no light subject, right? That just skimming through before the show started, what Dane had to say is it's a lot and it's relatable and it's painful to read. And he talks about dealing with his mental health and dealing with depression and anxiety and fighting for his life and how football helped save his life in a lot of different ways. And now, based off of that, he's got to make a change and do his own thing and make a new start somewhere else. And to that I say, dude, take care of yourself, right? As a human, as a football player, I'm going to say the same things I'm going to say about any football player. But as a human being, take care of your mental health. And if you're just an audience person listening today, take care of your mental health. Take it seriously. If you got to talk to the spouse a little bit more, talk to the spouse a little bit more. If you got to go to the therapy, go. Find ways, man. Even if your insurance doesn't cover it, I promise they'll work with you. Take care of it for real. And take control of your future. Create your future and be who you want to be. Nobody else can do that for you. So I applaud Dane Shore for entering the transfer portal for those reasons and taking control of his football career and taking control of his life. As a football player, the fit didn't make sense. As a person, this fit makes total sense, and I applaud him for it. On the other side of that is Ajayi Hall. And when I say on the other side of that, I don't mean, well, now we're going to criticize the person. We're not doing that. Ajayi Hall is such, I remember saying a couple weeks ago, well, maybe we'll never have to talk about Ajayi Hall ever again until week two of the season. And yet, good Lord, I can't blame the guys at Horns 247 for writing an article about this guy, for getting an interview. I mean, the amount of clicks that went through Horns 247 yesterday, good job. Good job. As somebody whose job is to kind of keep track of those kind of numbers, good job Excellent idea. There's a reason we aggregated off of you and formed our own opinions on Tide 100.9 as well. But I see where Jai Hall is coming from an objective perspective. And Joe had to bite the bullet on Twitter for this by also agreeing with Jai Hall on this. And the agreement is not as blanketed as Jai Hall is, right? Jai Hall made a very blanket statement that Alabama fans, they're not very loving, that Texas fans, they're like a family. That's a perspective thing, right? There are Texas fans that suck. There are Alabama fans that suck. There are Texas fans that are kind and understanding. There are Alabama fans that are kind and understanding. And I think that's something that Jai Hall will see with maturation, right? Maybe one day he'll look at some of the Alabama fans that weren't necessarily just fans of his and, you know, weren't necessarily just rooting for him, but saw him as a person and saw a young kid that was making mistakes and said, all right, if you got to go to Texas, do your own thing. But that also with time matures and understands why some of these Alabama fans were so damn mean to him, right? Because it's give and take. There are things that Jai Hall did to earn the ire of Alabama Crimson Tide fans. That much is absolutely true. With the cryptic tweets that much of our fan base is not accustomed to, I mean, safe to say, our fan base is pretty accustomed to just borderline social media accounts, right? It's never anything particularly crazy until these guys get to the NFL, and then there's Marlon Humphrey, right? Marlon Humphrey is absolutely insane on social media. But when it comes to their time in Alabama, it's what a lot of Alabama fans expect is head down, play football, win natties, go to the NFL, do your own thing, right? And that's fair. That's a fair perspective to have because I think it's something that is bred out of the personality of Nick Saban. Nick Saban is a lot more lighthearted than many of us give him credit for. He's much more understanding of the social media landscape than many of us give him credit for as well. But for Jai Hall, I think what gets lost in the shuffle a lot with certain players that create this aura around them, right? Those guys where if you're in my business, you put their name in a headline and you know that story is going to do well no matter how terribly it is written. Those guys, when they have that kind of aura around them, they create that conversation. And it can do one or two things. Either it'll humble them or it'll kind of boost that personality that they've had. And that can either be a positive or a negative thing, right? We've seen that, I think, in Jalen Hurts, right? It's humbled him, but it's also boosted the personality that he has that draws so many Alabama fans to him. Because there's often times, because we wrote a Jalen Hurts article a few days ago that did pretty well, where it's him talking about growing up in football and his father deciding that he'd be a quarterback and the way that he has grown to be a humble human being. But I always go in the comments section of Jalen Hurts articles. Always. I'm always curious what people have to say and how many times Tua Tagovailoa is inadvertently brought up. Because it never fails. One of the top comments in those, and this is a lot of behind the scenes kind of stuff in this business, but one of the top comments in those is always, it amazes me that Jalen Hurts would give up his job and still be this humble and go to Oklahoma and go to the NFL and still represent Alabama. And like, yeah, he technically did that, but he also definitely lost his job. He didn't just say, oh, Tua, I care about you so much, brother. Here's my starting position. Oh, Tua, I'm so happy that you took over and won the national championship instead of me. That's so cool. You know, like, he's a human being. Like, sure, for the team, happy. In the public face, definitely happy. I'm not going to assume how Jalen Hurts feels on the backside of that, but you're a human being. Put yourself in those shoes and tell me how you would feel if somebody else took your job in the most inopportune time for you. Would you be able to handle it with the same grace as Jalen Hurts? Probably not. That's why we admire him. But at the same time, that's to assume that it's 100% with full grace. and humility, right? With Ajayi Hall, that's not the case. This aura has not humbled him. This aura has not allowed him to mature in the way that might be necessary for him to reach the pinnacles of success that he is fully capable of. Because one of the things that really does kind of annoy me is the focus on the two drops that he had in the national championship game. You know what I saw a lot of on draft night? I saw a lot of Ajayi Hall with the ball in his hands for some of those Georgia players' highlights. Because he made one good reception on the first play that he was in after J-Mo got hurt. Because the potential was there. Because he was a four-star receiver who was a top 10 player at his position and came to Alabama with three other guys who, newsflash, haven't done much more than him. Ja'Cory Brooks has made two plays, and we act like he's going to be the star receiver. JoJo Earl has dropped way more passes than Ajayi Hall ever did, right? Christian Leary had to play another position. He had a fantastic spring game. Hasn't done anything, right? And that's not to belittle those guys. It's to put into perspective that Ajayi Hall is just a kid the same way. And here's the thing. I often get on this show and talk about how I don't want to call these young adults kids. But the fact of the matter is that for some of them, they are still kids. For some of them, being 18 didn't mean flip the switch to adult mode. It didn't do it for me. Right? I thought I did. I thought that's what I did. I still made kid decisions. I still make kid decisions. For Ajayi Hall, it's not about being morbidly immature. It's about the perspective that he has and a perspective that none of us know what it's like. None of us know what it's like to be a four-star receiver that comes to Alabama and feels like they're not being given the opportunity to succeed. None of us know what it's like to be Ajayi Hall and to have the world focus on your failures, but none of your teammates' failures. None of us know what it's like to be Ajayi Hall and have to commit to Alabama instead of the school that you wanted to go to because of a worldwide pandemic. None of us know what it's like to be Ajayi Hall and have to go to Texas, have a microphone put in front of our face and say, what do you think about Alabama fans after the past 6 months on Twitter? None of us know what that's like. And Ajayi Hall, again, cannot legally buy alcohol. He is not old enough for that. And yet, here we are. Make these crazy life decisions with the whole world of Twitter looking at you while this aura has been created around you because you had one great spring game. The insanity behind that. So when he gets on and he says Alabama fans, they're not really loving. Sure, he's probably only looking at the wrong Twitter comments. But he did see Joe's, where Joe is lending a hand to him and saying, hey, maybe we should hold a different perspective on this. Now, Ajayi definitely commented on that with a wide receiver cryptic level tweet that I still don't know what it means. But he sees both sides too. With maturity, with playing time, with success, maybe things will change for him. And I hope they do. I wish nothing but the world of success for the kid just as a football player. I hope in week two Joe's absolutely wrong though, and they done it, and that he doesn't have 15 catches for 300 yards and three touchdowns. But I hope nothing but the world of success for the guy. We have more transfer portal stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Georgia and their ridiculous NFL draft class. More clues for the vintage player of the month as well. 205-342-9904 if you want to make your guess at that. This running back at the time of his graduation was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing and the first in Alabama history to eclipse 3,000 yards rushing in a career. Call in 205-342-9904. Let Joe know who you think that is. And we'll put you in the running for a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage. We'll be back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Are you receiving
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather?
Showers ending, the sky becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high today around 80.
for tonight, mostly fair with a low at 56. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Are y'all struggling with this one a little bit? I think. Here you go. First clue, repeat it again. At the time of his graduation, this running back was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing. Was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing and the first in Alabama history to eclipse 3,000 yards rushing in a career. And despite his success in Tuscaloosa, here's your second clue. This running back only spent 3 years in the NFL, two with the Denver Broncos, and one with the Miami Dolphins. If you know who that player is, that is the Vintage Player of the Month. You can call in at 205-342-9904 and let Joe Gaither know your answer, and we'll put you in line for a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage if you can guess it correctly. Now, I promise that third one is always the easiest one. So, no doubt about it. If you're still struggling with it, still trying to figure out who it is, that third clue will always let you in. It's always the easiest one. I try to help you out a little bit on that one. Again, the transfer portal is about the only thing we can talk about, because it from every single angle, it is engulfing college football. A few weeks ago, you know, it was the NIL and that, but the transfer portal is doing its own thing, right? We know what's going on with Jordan Addison. Here's a pretty wild situation that we're all aware of this, that Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield is alleging that Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide tampered to acquire Tyler Harrell through the transfer portal. Satterfield said, I think it's not only him, it's happened before here. Excuse me. Last year, we had a few guys that jumped into the portal, and the next day, they're announcing where they're going. You can look at that and know that something went on before they were in the portal. Well, to that, first I'll say, Satterfield, that the internet exists, that players can definitely have an idea of where they want to go before they announce. But also, what are you going to do about it? Right? This is where I've sat for the Jordan Addison thing. Excuse me, these allergies. Narduzzi and Satterfield, they can cry about this if they want to. And this isn't me defending tampering. It's not even the least. I don't like it. I've said, I love NIL. I love the transfer portal. I don't like this tampering thing. I don't like the ability to just pluck a receiver off another team's roster and say, yep, we're better. You're worse. Tough luck. Sucks for you. I'm not crazy about that, but it is where we're at. Complaining to the media doesn't change anything. Complaining to the NCAA is literally more futile. You will get more done by complaining to the media. The NCAA can't do anything, right? They can't. They'd like to say that they can. They'd like to say that they would. They'd like to say that they will. But they can't. It's a reality of the situation. If that is the case, it sucks. The realization through NIL, through everything, that this is the way that college football, college athletics has existed for the past 100 years is a very violent wake-up call for many, many fans. And I get that. It's a violent wake-up call for many coaches as well. But at the end of the day, you kind of just have to step back, open up, and realize this is the way of the jungle right now until the NCAA fixes what it's got going on. And if I heard Tony say this on the game the other day, right? He said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Amen.
Scott Satterfield, Narduzzi up in Pittsburgh, cheat.
You know what they should do? They should issue a challenge to all the coaches who want to take their players. Fight me in the arena. If you win, you can have them.
I mean, yeah, gladiator style. I mean, if you can't beat them, join them. There are no rules. You are literally, I mean, you're in the gladiator ring, dude. If you complain about the other guy having having two swords when you only brought one, brother, cut off his arm, take his sword, and stab him with it. Like, you have got to take control of the situation and understand everybody's playing under the same house rules, that there are no rules. I'm not saying that Nick Saban did tamper. I'm not saying the Crimson Tide tampered. I have no evidence behind that. I think it's just as bizarre that many players are in the transfer portal one day and then they're announcing the next. But as we saw with Jordan Addison, it takes time to get into the portal. It takes time to make that decision. And some of these kids are in a position where they're able to make that decision on their own. Jordan Addison could choose to go wherever the hell he wants to. You think Jordan Addison would call up Oregon right now with no further forethought from Oregon, no pursuance from Oregon, and the Ducks say no? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If that's the case, don't come after your player. Don't try to come after the king, first of all. Don't come after Nick Saban. Don't come after Alabama. Complaining about something that, dude, you can do too. And this is where somebody would step in and say, but what about integrity and morality? Brother, this is football. Do you know how many times I've been punched in the gut by somebody that I had to shake hands with at the end of a football game? This is a gladiator sport where your success is determined by your ability to win. And if you're losing players to better coaches, then guess what you are? A loser. That's the law of the jungle. That's survival of the fittest. I don't like it. You don't have to like it. But at least until next July, when Mark Emmert finally has nothing to do with the NCAA, and hopefully the NCAA gets its thumbs out of its rear end and stands up and makes a decision to actually purposefully and logistically evolve its products, this is where you live. Feast or famine. Evolve or perish. Cry or succeed. Tony, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
How much?
Hey, I'm liking the topic here. You know, couple things. First thing on the Louisville guy, the coach and all. You know, he had an opportunity to keep the kid there. If you have a talented receiver like he did, that obviously a lot of coaches knew about, you get him the ball.
Yeah, maybe throw him the ball more than 18 times.
I mean, I didn't know Louisville had that kind of wide receiver talent that they couldn't fit him into the schedule.
Yeah. I'd maybe find a way to give the ball to a guy that scores on a third of his touches.
I mean, this guy needs to go look in the mirror. Now, I will say this. We do need a time period. It can't be wide open to leave whenever you want to.
I absolutely agree.
But I do think, I mean, we've both played sports and football and everything like that. You can lose favor of a coach, right?
Yep.
And then what does the coach do to punish you? He thinks you're not doing what he wants you to do, whatever. What does the coach do?
He doesn't let you on the field.
That's right. And what coaches loved about that was you didn't have any recourse.
Yeah.
You didn't have any way to fight it. You were 100% under their thumb, and that's wrong too. But I guess my question to you is, or what I'm going to propose to you is, and we talk about it, I'm going to give you a scenario. You tell me what would have happened. Would Derrick Henry have stayed here for 3 years if this rule were available then?
Hmm. That's interesting. Because there's a lot of personalities that react differently to this. Like, you know, Brian Robinson could have left. Brian Robinson could have started for all 129 other teams. And
I don't agree with that.
Well, I mean, maybe not all 129. I mean, there's not Ohio State, but he could have went to a lot of different places, still had the same draft capital. That's hard because Kamara did leave. So once Kamara left, then it was that left Yeldon, Henry, and Drake, right? Am I remembering correctly?
Yep.
If I'm Derrick Henry sitting in that room with Kenyon Drake and TJ Yeldon, I look around and I see two backs that I am significantly better than. And if I'm not getting the playing time I feel I deserve, but I have seen the natural progression of things because Trent was better than Mark, but Mark still got the seniority carries. So if I see that there's a trend here and that eventually I will get my time and Derek definitely got his, then maybe Derek sticks around. If Derek is much more of a selfish person that I think he has displayed himself to not be, then I think he splits town like Kamara did.
Are you old enough to remember Sean Alexander? I mean, like, have watched him play.
As a Seattle Seahawk.
Okay, but not okay. Oh, well, that's fair enough.
I watched Alabama versus Michigan for the Tom Brady aspect of it. Sean Alexander stole the show. You know what I mean?
So. Why, sure. Just give you a little background on Sean Alexander. You know, he was kind of like Derrick Henry coming out of high school, but it was in Kentucky. So people are like going, well, you know, he's from Kentucky and this and that. But everyone knew he was big time from the moment he showed up. But just like Derrick Henry, we couldn't get him the ball until like his junior year because he couldn't block.
Yeah.
And then that's the same thing they said about Derrick Henry. He couldn't get on the field because he couldn't block. And the reason I bring this up now is, are coaches now going to have to play big-time athletes like Derrick Henry or Sean Alexander or whatever? Are they going to be forced to play these guys if they can't block to keep them?
No. I think if they find imperfect athletes, they'll go find perfect ones.
Derrick Henry was imperfect.
Well, exactly.
That's why he didn't play for his first.
Receiver position, because this is the topic I was going to get into, is receivers are chaotic right now. If you look in the NFL, the Jaguars screwed over the entire NFL by signing Christian Kirk to that stupid contract. And we saw how volatile it created a situation in the NFL draft where two number one receivers are shipped off for first-round picks and are immediately replaced within those drafts, or at least with the Titans, they selected who they hope can be another A.J. Brown. So the volatile nature of that position, let's look at Alabama. Alabama has been the best team in the country at recruiting these wide receivers, but now all of a sudden they've hit a lull. Ajayi Hall's class of him and Ja'Cory Brooks and Christian Leary and JoJo Earl, they haven't done much. So now we're living off of the transfer portal, thinking about a potential signing with Jordan Addison. We've got Jermaine Burton in here. He's the number one guy. Tyler Harrell, we all love. And we're finding reasons to love a guy that had 18 catches. For whatever reason, he only had 18. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go find guys that can do what our current guys can't do. That's probably what they're going to do.
Well, what were the numbers? Aren't the guy from Louisville? Aren't his numbers better than Jameson Williams' numbers were coming out of Ohio State?
Yeah, but JMO had three first rounders in front of him.
Well, true. There's no doubt. No. I'm with you.
I mean, Ohio State, not Louisville.
That's true. But you know that guy left. And you know, I mean, how do you figure out if you're a coach how to keep players happy and keep players on your team and not leaving, and yet building the best product that you can.
Well, sometimes your best product is going to involve using the strengths of those guys. So if Derrick Henry can't block, well, then bite the bullet. Don't put him out there on passing downs, right? Just run the ball with him. Have a back that is more of a traditional third down back that can catch the ball out of the backfield and block until you teach Derrick Henry how to do that. And I think another side of it, too, remember the coach you brought up that was so power hungry that he'd just sit kids no matter how good they were?
Sure.
Those coaches have to either evolve or get out of the way. I think the next step in a lot of this, outside of the NCAA solving so many problems, is the willingness of coaches to evolve. We've seen it here in Tuscaloosa, and it comes naturally because Nick has always done it. But if you look around the country, there are so many coaches that are not evolving. They look at NIL, and they turn their nose up at it and say, these players are worthless. What are you talking about? They don't deserve this. And those coaches aren't going to have jobs in the next 5 years. And the same ones that are like Scott Satterfield and to a lesser degree, I think, Pat Narduzzi, where they're looking at the transfer portal and crying about losing their players. Dog, get all the good players and create an environment where they don't want to leave. Create an environment where other players want to come play for you. Get out of the mid lane and get in the fast lane and take over the road. Otherwise, you're going to lose all the good players. It's survival of the fittest. And if you're not the fittest, man, Nick Saban and Ryan Day and Kirby and Dabo and whoever else, Jimbo, the crystal balls of the world, they're going to eat you alive because players want to play for them.
That's right. Did you ever have a coach that could change?
What do you mean by could change?
I mean, every coach that I ever had, I had some elite coaching in football and basketball. They didn't deviate from what they did. That's the amazing thing about Coach Saban. He has a process, but his process is adaptable.
Yeah, so I think if I'm catching on, so my senior year, we ran two different defenses. We started as a 4-3 team, and I was an outside backer in that. The week that we played TJ Yeldon and Daphne, I got moved to middle linebacker, and I got eaten alive, and I got benched. I got moved to defensive end. I couldn't play 4-3 defensive end to save my damn life. So I was completely benched. Midway through the season, we swapped to a 3-4. I played outside backer in that, so more of a Will Anderson type role, and I played my best football the last 4 weeks of the season. So he evolved the defense. He didn't evolve it for me, but he evolved the defense despite us having one of the best defenses really in the county. Our offense was so bad, we had to find a way to play even better defense, and it allowed me to play better. It allowed other people to play better. So my defensive coordinator, his name is Jay Cozio. He's one of the coolest people I've ever met in my entire life, but he was able to evolve like that. Unfortunately, he was like the only coach I had in high school that was like that. And in college. In college, all my coaches were very egotistical.
Right.
Except for Bruce Smith, the former Auburn guy that ended up with the Falcons. He was one of my coaches at Faulkner. He was awesome.
I don't remember him, but going through, but yeah, most coaches are just egomaniacs, you know, head coaches. I mean, you know, they are, and it's just how it is. Yeah. I guess they have to convince themselves they have to do that. But how good was TJ Yeldon in high school?
I'll tell you this one, and then I got to get you off. TJ,
did he fumble all the time? Hold on, before you get in there, did he fumble at all the wrong times like he did in college, or was he pretty good at holding on to the ball?
When we played Daphne, TJ fumbled 3 times in the first half. He fumbled 3 times in the first half. We held him to less than 50 yards. One of those fumbles, one of our safeties picked up and took for a touchdown. We went into the half down 10-7. This team ended. The team I was on ended up winning one game the rest of the season.
Oh my goodness.
Against the team that didn't win a game. TJ's team went on to the playoffs, right?
That's right.
TJ fumbled the ball three times in the first half. He was still an Auburn commit at the time. He came out of halftime and ran for over 300 yards and like four touchdowns. slaughtered us in the second half. It was like the first half never happened.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, man, that was fun. Thanks for sharing.
No problem, Tony. Take it easy, buddy.
Hey, see you, bud.
Yeah, no, I still contend. I like TJ. I loved watching him in Alabama. I still contend, though. He didn't improve. You know, he was as good as he was in high school, as good as he was in college, as good as he was in the NFL. Fun conversation there with Tony. Two clues for you. We'll take a break and come back. Of the Vintage Player of the Month, at the time of his graduation, this running back was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing and the first in Alabama history to eclipse 3,000 yards in a career. Despite that success in Tuscaloosa, he only spent 3 years in the NFL, two with the Denver Broncos and one with the Miami Dolphins. If you know who that player is, that's the Vintage Player of the Month. Call in 205-342-9904. Let Joe know who the player is, and we'll put you in line for a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage. We'll take a break and come back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, Joe Gaither across the glass. Final clue for you. For the Vintage Player of the Month, your chance at a $25 gift card to Alabama Vintage. This is supposed to be the easy one. His son is a defensive back for the Baltimore Ravens. First two clues. He was the Crimson Tide's all-time leader in rushing at the time of his graduation and the first in Alabama history to eclipse 3,000 yards rushing in a career. Despite his success in Tuscaloosa, however, he only spent 3 years in the NFL, two with the Denver Broncos and one with the Miami Dolphins. And finally, his son is a defensive back for the Baltimore Ravens. One of the few Baltimore Ravens. I'm kidding. I love, like, every player that plays for the Baltimore Ravens, and it's sickening. Joe, could you imagine loving the players on the Packers but hating the Packers themselves?
No, not at all.
Isn't that such a weird space to be in?
I was very glad that the team up north did not draft Jameis Williams. For about 4 years, I had to consider J.K. Scott dead to me.
Right. I mean, that's something I can't do because I see everything that the Ravens do in front office work. And I mean, Ozzie Newsome is absolutely insane at what he does. And now he's not even in the driver's seat anymore. He's done such a good job of training the guy that replaced him to do an incredible job. The players that they select, their success, I hate it. I wish they were terrible all the time. I respect them too much. Can't help it. I mentioned this a little bit while I was talking with Tony. There is a weird and wacky way of things for wide receivers in football today. The other day, Joe and I were talking in the production studio, and you mentioned how it was a bad sign if you get Jordan Addison because it kind of helps to prove that you can't develop or recruit one or the other wide receivers anymore. And I've thought about that. And I've tried to correlate that with what we saw in the NFL draft. Thanks again to the Jacksonville Jaguars for paying Christian Kirk entirely way too much money, resetting the value of wide receivers monetarily in the NFL. We see Hollywood Brown shipped off to Arizona. We see A.J. Brown shipped up to Philly to play with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and a whole host of other Crimson Tide guys. And we see the Titans try to replace A.J. Brown with that very same pick, and it's a weird space, right? Alabama was on top of the world. The rideouts were insane. John Mechie looked like the kind of guy that was going to be able to uphold that mantle, and he did. I think he did a fine job of that. I shake your head at 96 receptions. You're a psychopath. Jameson Williams joined that exclusive club as well. Then on the backside of that, after Alabama had four of the top 10 players at that position in the 2020 recruiting class, which again can totally be skewed. We are working with skewed information because of COVID, right? That class is weird. The 2021 class is weird. But it puts a weird perspective on wide receivers in total, right? Because which position is filling the transfer portal the most? It's wide receivers, right? Dudes want the ball. They want to go somewhere where they can get the ball. You know, that's the whole reason that the Baltimore Ravens traded Hollywood Brown, is because Brown asked for a trade because he didn't want to be in a run-first system anymore. Who can blame it? Can you develop your own wide receivers anymore is the question. And I don't think it even comes down to ability to develop those receivers, right? Because we've already seen Nick and company do that before. The rideouts are some of the best receivers we've ever seen come through college football. But the ability to truly develop them, keep them in-house, have an offense that is simple enough for them to learn quickly, but complex enough for to be effective, that is a tight, tight, tight line to have to try to walk. And the transition all the way up through, right? Because, again, like the wide receiver position is overinflated. There are far too many guys that would be fantastic corners that would rather catch the ball and play offense anyway, right? There are way more wide receivers than there are cornerbacks. You transition that from high school. Well, now there's too many wide receivers. How do you know that you get the best one? How do you know you get the right one? And some of them are eccentric personalities. So now you have to balance that as well. You get to the NFL. Well, how do I value a good receiver? When's the last time a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver won a Super Bowl? Hines Ward? And even then, when I bring his name up, folks say, well, is he really a Hall of Famer? You see where I'm getting at? That is a tough line to have to tiptoe through. So if you're playing wide receiver in high school right now, evaluate. Maybe play the other side of the ball, because the opportunities are more plentiful there. You won't have to make drastic life choices and all this other chaos. Joe, do we have a winner from our list here?
How about JJ in Northport?
JJ in Northport, you're a winner. Bobby Humphrey was the vintage player of the month. JJ, I'll give you a call, and we'll get you your gift card, and we'll do it all again next month on the first Friday of the month. I'll see y'all on Monday. Y'all have a happy weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the fantastic mothers out there, especially my mother and my wife and your mother as well. Everybody's mom. Celebrate them. They deserve it. Call your mama. Jay Barker's up next.
Thank you for listening to Off the Edge.
Can't tell you how proud I am of our players, our team.
Join us every Monday from 8 to 10 and Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and the Tide 100.9 app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Showers ending, the sky becoming partially sunny this afternoon, a high today around 80. For tonight, mostly fair with a low at 56. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 76. And Sunday, a sunny day with a high at 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
How is